It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office is raising questions about a prayer room used by Muslim students at Liberty High School in Frisco. The room and the school's growing diversity were featured in a KERA story last week. It's part of our American Graduate series, Race, Poverty, and the Changing Face of Schools. Stella Chavez has the latest.
Paxton's office sent a letter today to the superintendent of Frisco Schools, Jeremy Lyon. Deputy Attorney General Andrew Leone wrote that the school's effort to, quote, create an environment where students can freely practice their religion merits admiration, not antagonism. But, he wrote, the school's policy should be neutral toward religion. Quote, it's unclear whether students of other faiths may use the room at the same time or at other times during the week. Chris Moore, the communications director for Frisco Schools, says no federal or state guidelines are being violated.
I assure you that that room is accessible to all students of all denominations, all walks of faith, all cultures, all ethnicities, and I assure you that that is in place, and I would have liked the opportunity to have been able to clarify that prior to this letter being sent out en masse.
Moore says, as far as he knows, the AG's office didn't contact the district in advance.
We work within the Texas Association of School Boards and Student Religious Expression Guidelines. We work within those things to ensure that we're reasonably accommodating the religious expression. All student groups can utilize this room.
Moore says the letter raises some valid questions and that the district will respond. Paxton's office would not comment beyond the letter. All this came on the same day that Superintendent Lyon announced he's retiring at the end of the school year. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Congressman Pete Sessions will hold a town hall at Richardson High School tomorrow. As KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, more than 2,000 supporters and opponents have signed up to see the Dallas Republican, and it's likely to be a rowdy crowd.
Congressional town hall events across the country have been getting pretty heated lately. Big crowds of mostly progressive activists, some calling themselves Indivisible, have been turning out in force to give their representatives an earful.
My tax dollars paid your salary when you walked out on our government, not once, not twice, but several times during the Obama administration. If I don't want to work, I don't get paid!
That's from a town hall North Texas Congressman Michael Burgess held a couple weeks ago. With a new budget from the Trump administration calling for massive cuts and a new health care law from House Republicans, Sessions can expect a very engaged crowd.
I think what's driving this more than anything, it's not, you know, I just have to do something. It's, I am scared. These are real life issues. I am concerned. And I want to be heard.
Jara Butler has been organizing with the Indivisible chapter in the 32nd District. She says there are a litany of issues that people want Sessions to answer for, about the Trump administration's ties to Russia, about education, the economy, and infrastructure spending.
Our members are also concerned about immigration. This is an economic issue for Texas. For me, it's a human rights issue. For many in our group, it's a human rights issue. For me personally, the ACA is important. We have a lot of seniors in our district.
The ACA, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is also an issue for Sessions critics on the other side of the political spectrum. Karen Hill has been active with the Far North Dallas Tea Party for years. She says when Sessions and his fellow Republicans voted to repeal Obamacare dozens of times before, they didn't wait for something like Paul Ryan's newly proposed replacement bill, a bill Hill does not like.
My question is, was that just a show vote? That they were trying to get points because they're not willing to do it now. So exactly where do they stand on that? Where does Pete stand on that?
Hill worked to get Sessions elected years ago and later worked to help his challengers replace him. She's got a range of criticisms and says it's important all of Sessions' constituents make him listen.
I hope there are people there on the conservative side, on the liberal side, in between, but I think that the main thing is that people want to hold their congressman accountable, and I think it's about time.
Texas's 32nd congressional district stretches from the posh neighborhoods of North Dallas to its Tony suburbs in Collin County. It's long been a safe Republican seat, but in the last election, it voted for Hillary Clinton by a hair. Southern Methodist University political scientist Cal Gilson says that's fired up local Democrats who see it as a battleground in future elections. Though he thinks they may have to be patient.
This district is evolving, and it's evolving away from a straight Republican district. But in the upcoming election, for example, in 2018, that will be a Republican district comfortably.
Over his 20-year career, Sessions has climbed to an influential leadership role in Congress. The chair of the powerful Rules Committee, he's more of a workhorse than a show horse. And that's what Jonathan Zuzelka of Dallas likes about him. Zuzelka's a Republican, and he'll be at Saturday's town hall to show some love for his representative.
He's hands-on and he's engaged. He's never been someone to want to engage in any of the lowbrow politics that is so common in today's environment.
So, as Sessions tries to answer questions from critics on his right and on his left, he'll have at least some friendly faces in the crowd. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
There's a new arts collective in Fort Worth called Art Tooth. It's attracting attention for its shows and the frequency of them. Three just this month. Today in State of the Arts, Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi talks with Art Tooth members about their next opening and goals to fund local art in North Texas.
Artist and curator Terry Thornton has taken the afternoon off from the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth. Instead, she's at Art Gallery 500X in Dallas, peeling vinyl lettering off a drywall for her piece called Citing Violence with Emily Dickinson. She's painting phrases from Dickinson's poems in blood red, phrases like this.
I heard a fly buzz when I died.
That's Thornton. She's one of six North Texas artists contributing to Art Tooth's exhibition called Mind the Gap.
Up until this point, we've done a lot of really interesting shows. We haven't necessarily done a show with a lot of political background to it.
That's Amy Cardoso. She's one of Art Tooth's founders. The group has hosted a show just about every month over the past 6 months, and they've helped artists sell their work and find jobs. But this time around, the work's not for sale, and the goal is starting conversations.
I mean, honestly, we just wanted to get some, like, pretty established artists that have a lot to say about the social community and just kind of put it under the guise of, like, what's going on right now in the world. And that's kind of all it was.
For this show, Thornton and her fellow artists appropriated existing works, or at least put them in a new context in order to highlight social issues. For example, Fort Worth's Christopher Blay uses a Richard Pryor routine and 1970s police publicity photos to take on police brutality and racial bias. And Cleburne native William Saradet takes on issues of privacy and willingness to give away personal data with his installation.
Have you really thought about what you do every day on the internet and then be metacritical of that? Have you thought about who is, like, using that information?
In order to get you to consider those questions, Saradet's piece includes a questionnaire about your digital footprint and video of presidential campaign ads. The ads were informed by research from a British company that claims to hold thousands of data points on 230 million Americans. This show is new ground, and every Art Tooth show should be, says co-founder Dee Lara.
What was really nice about the model that we're operating with, it allows us to do things without being pigeonholed as, like, you're this type of gallery or this type of project.
Art Tooth's model is about more than art shows. Members feel that individual artists need financial support to do their work. So they're setting an example that they hope others will follow. The group has raised $5,000 and will award it to one North Texas artist. The artist in this show will select the winner.
So the microgrants are really important because it gives us the opportunity to move these conversations beyond our insular communities.
Art Tooth believes that if they can raise money for grants, then museums and cities should also be able to find money in order to support individual artists.
We're pretty bare bones. Like, we ask for podiums on Facebook and hope that people give them to us. So, like, I do kind of want to put a little bit of pressure on other institutions to be a little bit more generous.
Artists can apply for the microgrant starting Saturday at the show. The winner will be announced in May. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Cloudy skies expected this evening, low around 63 later on. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.